You know, let's lift up a prayer of thanks. You know, how many of y'all take things for granted?
Amen.
All right, so today this is going to be kind of the message, okay? It's not that you got to, it's that you get to. You get to. You know what? We get to be in praise. Today, we get to be in praise. You know what? To be honest with you, I think sometimes that we have grown comfortable with all the blessings God has given us.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to tell you right now, you'd be hard-pressed to hear music like that anywhere in America today. And those people are playing not so you can go, wow, they play good. But they want you to know that He is the one that was and is to come. And that's why they play with that intensity. I was sitting there and I kind of was laughing to myself. I remember when Elizabeth and I started out in ministry, and now that's a memory. I have to go back a little ways. And I remember on Sunday mornings, I used to get out a Ron Canole CD. And Ron Canole had this big choir, and he could sing, and he sang with passion. And I'd put that CD in just so I could hear some intensity, because I knew I was fixing to preach after bringing in the sheaves. And just as I am, and we're going to stay. And this morning I sat here and I listened to the saxophone, and I listened to the guitars, and I listened to the drums, and I'm reminded of that psalm where it says, if it can, if it have breath, let it give praise. And so I think we ought to give praise that we have been freely changed by a loving God. We've been freely changed by a loving God. Today, you just witnessed Sissy. Sissy's been a friend of mine since she got here 3 years ago. Sissy's got, the world would say, Sissy's got some special needs. But she had one need that was taken care of. And John and I were talking back there. And I said, you know, John said, you know, on the day of resurrection, on that day, when Sissy rises again, she's going to hear, she's going to walk, she's going to talk, and everything's going to be perfect. You know, and sometimes I think we forget that. We forget that there is a living God that raises us to a different way to live. Now, we've cleared it in Acts 2. We've finally gotten through Acts 2. But we're at the very end of it. You know, and after you receive Jesus Christ, what does it mean to live in Him? What does it mean to follow Him? And man, I bet there's a thousand definitions out there of that, isn't there? But today I'm going to give you five things that you hear over and over and over and over again. But as we listen to them today, as Hillview Heights Church 2011, say, God, may it be more in me. Okay, that, you know, Sarge, that's what we need to say today. May it be more in me. May this increase. Okay, let me just let you in on, we get to come to church today. I get to be married. I woke up this morning and I'm still married. That's amazing some mornings. Do y'all have that moment? Right now, I get to watch my children grow up. Marley, you and Lisa get to put on a wedding here in a couple months that's greater than the royal wedding that's going on in England. Y'all get to do that. Isn't that great, Tim? You get to do that. Yeah, amen. How many of you parents got to throw a wedding? Yeah, you're still paying for it. See, it's something that stays with you for a long time. You know, one day I'll get to watch the guy that's going to take Clacy away, and I will fall in immense prayer for what he's fixing to go through the rest of his life. He'll have no idea. I get to. I want you to get that rhythm for just a moment. I get to. And just let your mind wander with the Holy Spirit for a second. What are all the things you get to do? You get to be a part of because Jesus Christ is the Lord. The one that was and the one that is and the one that is to come. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you do not leave. Lord, I thank you that the stock market this week didn't affect you at all. I thank you, Lord, that even if the government had shut down, this would not have affected anything that you were about. I thank you, Lord, that you are greater than the problems we face. And your answer rings true even when nobody wants to hear it. Lord, I thank you that you're the God of all things. Whether you're accepted or whether you're not accepted by us, you still maintain a position as the Almighty God who was and who is and who is to come. So, Lord, we get to hear your word today. We get to be in worship today. We get to love on a whole lot of people this afternoon. Lord, we get to be a part of this great life. So to quote my brother, Pastor Mark Hale, I can't believe we get to live this way, Jesus. So bring that to us. Amen? So I hope that you're awakened. Acts 2, we're at the very end of it. This is the place. How many of you all have heard this? If you've been around Hillview more than once, how many of you have heard this? The Big Five. The Big Five. Well, believe it or not, at Hillview, we didn't just sit around and say, hey, can we come up with some cool, catchy slogans and design a church? No, the church actually came out of Acts 2. The church that you're sitting in, Sheldon, came out of Acts 2, all right? I wasn't a real good reader, so I had to say, Lord, show me the one place, the church. He said, I got one chapter, Acts 2. If you can get Acts 2, now let me tell you what, you can never read it enough and never study it deep enough. It always brings something forth. I've been in my whole seminary experience was 3.5 year study on Acts 2. Every paper I wrote went back to Acts 2. Here's why. I want to know what the church is supposed to be like. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, he said, well, let's look at the very beginning. How many of y'all find when you go back to the beginning of things, you get the way things should be? When you go back to the beginning. Well, at the onset of the church, what do we see? Let's do a quick review. There's got to be power. Ricky, you know what I'm talking about? There's got to be power. We don't have church because we gather. We have church because God gathers in us. Make sense? And so I want you all to get ready because guess what? I mean, this couldn't have come at a better time. Guess what? Sunday. Now, listen, if this is your first ride with Hillview through Holy Week, we are big Holy Week people. Okay? Let me just kind of help where we stand. We believe that Easter Sunday morning, when we celebrate that, that's bigger than UK trying to win a national championship. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than Ohio State winning a national championship. And that would take an act of God. If you see that happen, that's an act of God. It's larger than any event you've been to. It's in this moment when Jesus raised us from the grave that everything in human history changes. If you notice here at Hillview, you never hear me say cross. It's cross and resurrection. Without that resurrection, that cross lays meaningless. And that cross is there to show us only God can forgive us. And that resurrection's there to show us only God can remake us. So Sunday, we're going to come in here and listen, it's worship. It's intense worship. Sunday night, we're going to ring in the praise. We're going to ring in the praise. Bible studies on Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon. Tony Scott, I know that you're going to be in perfect attendance. Wednesday night. Now listen, we do some things here. I hope you go through them. We do some nervous things. Holy Week is a nervous time. We wash feet. Y'all go, I'm missing that service. Now, this is not one of our highly attended services during Holy Week. Although we do this with Holy Week, everybody, all the places that do pedicures and stuff, they get record business on foot washing Wednesday. Wednesday, we wash feet. Thursday, we head to the garden. And Friday, we got to look at the cross. Now, don't miss that. Watch this. There's nothing more important than this week. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to do something. If you already have things scheduled in the Holy Week, unschedule them. Try for a week putting God's slot first in your schedule. You know, we do that in America, don't we? It's like here we got God's main events, and then we want to put our main events as the main events, and then we slide God in on the side. What would happen if we allow God to be the main event? We get to allow God to be the main event. Isn't that amazing? We get to live in Christ. Go with me to Acts 2. We're at the very end. 3,000 have been added that day. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. Well, what do you do? You know, I've often wondered, Pastor Jeff, if 3,000 were baptized here on a Sunday, what do we do on Monday? Andrew, if you have 1,000 junior high kids baptized on a Wednesday, what do you do on Thursday? Angela, 2,000 kids on a Wednesday night, what do you do on Thursday morning? Well, I would say you do this. The same thing that happened to you after Jesus entered your life. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, I want you to understand something. If you don't know what he says, it's hard to know what to do. Does that make sense? Now, note this word here. This is a word that we don't have much in our culture anymore. They devoted themselves. They didn't casually look at the teachings. They absorbed what the apostles taught. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. What were those teachings? They were the headlines of Jesus. What are some of the headlines of Jesus? I want to give you some headlines. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, your life. Isn't that what God was saying? Take this life and love me with it. And as you love me with your life, I will send my life through your what? Life. They devoted themselves. Don, I appreciate you teaching like you teach, because you teach with devotion. People tell me all the time, you ever been to Don Duke's class? And I said, well, I'm a little scheduled in while he's teaching. But I said, you know what I hear about Don's class? Passion. You know where passion comes from? It doesn't come from you. It comes from the devotion you have to God. How many of y'all believe anybody can be saved? You see, I believe this. I believe that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. So I think we ought to tell folk. I think we ought to tell the world that this is the greatest message in the world. To tell the world, Nathan, guess what? We got to be devoted to the teachings. Now we got to teach them what to do. We got to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our what? Body. Everything you got, may it declare God's glory. We all are learning. Now, I want to go over this. This is kind of a practical sermon today. You know what? At noonday here in the week, there's Bible study. Boom, 45 minutes every day during the weekday. Why? So you can get some of the apostles' teachings. You need at least one teaching session a week. How many of y'all agree with that? One. Now, Henning, here's what a lot of people say. Well, Pastor, I can read the Bible by myself. I hear that all the time. Well, I can read the Bible by myself. Yeah, I know, but you like to interpret it the way you want to interpret it, too, by yourself. Jack, that's about like me running by myself. I can turn a half a mile into 10 miles real quick. It's like working out by myself. As soon as I work out, you know when I stop now? When it hurts. You know, he's supposed to get 10. I'll go like this. 1, 4, 6. 10. Ha. How many of y'all do it like that when you're by yourself? How many of y'all, when you're on a diet by yourself, you eat more than when somebody else is watching? Elizabeth's trying to keep me healthy. I've told her I've looked at the economy and I just need to be able to eat what I want to eat, because we're not going to be able to afford to live a long time in life. And I told her, I said, our retirement's gone, everything else, slide that big steak over here. But you know what? I have to confess on myself. When I'm out of town doing a revival, I don't eat like Elizabeth eats. When I'm out of town, there's fries. There's grease. I like grease. Y'all like grease? Now, let me tell you something. It'll kill you. I mean, it's documented. If you want to die early, you better be saved. You follow my diet, and I can guarantee death at an early basis. In fact, nobody believes this, but if Mark Hale and I let ourselves fall into sin together, we'd both weigh about 450 pounds. Because no matter where we are, we can find a greasy spoon and we like that food. I don't know why. I'm going to ask God that question. And I know, Jeff, we probably won't get to ask God any questions, but I would like to know the answer to this. Why does everything that tastes good kill you? And everything that's awful brings you healthy life. Like Brussels sprouts. How many of y'all have ever just said, man, I want a plate of Brussels sprouts? Jack, you ever said that? I know you ain't ever said that, Jack. Gertie, you've said that? See, you living a long time. Me, I want it fried. I could eat fried anything. I like fried eggs, fried chicken. Fry it. I like it. It tastes good, but it kills you. True? I mean, they figured that out. You get a lot of cholesterol and you get a lot of clog in your arteries. Boom. You can go out quicker. What does it mean to study with somebody else? It means you get pushed to see what you don't want to see. You also have to read scriptures that you won't read by yourself. How many of y'all play skip a verse? Any of y'all do that? I mean, when it's really talking to you, you go, you know what, that's a good idea, God, but I'm going to the next verse. That really doesn't speak to me, which means that's just convicted me. See, we like to play skip a verse, but when we're in Bible study, we're exposed to the apostles' teachings. Okay, so hold there. We got to be dedicated to that. I'm going to encourage you all. If you're not in Bible study, you need to get in a Bible study. Okay, watch. It costs you an hour a week. Don't tell me you don't have time to do that. You waste that on a silly TV show. Somebody tell me the truth on that. How many of y'all watch two sessions of Fox News? O'Reilly does not change. The 7 o'clock O'Reilly's the same as the 11 o'clock O'Reilly. I hear that all the time in my house. This is because you've already watched that once. I said, we may get a breaking news alert here, and I want to be on for it, all right? But it really doesn't change, does it? Take that hour and do something profitable with it. Be devoted to the apostles' teachings. Now, after that, we gotta watch this. There's another concept here. And to the fellowship. And to the fellowship. And what do you do after 3,000 come to the Lord? First of all, you teach them the things Jesus has said. And secondly, you bring them into fellowship. See, part of being in the church is knowing you're not on this ride alone. You're not on this journey alone. This life is not about you alone. It is about us in Christ, the church in Christ. Now, check this out. Check this out biblically. God is not coming back to get you. He's coming back to get his church. And you and I are a part of his church. It takes all of us to make his church. You are not a church unto yourself. We're the body of Christ. How many of y'all realize that none of us have all of it in one person? Isn't that cool? None of us have all of it in one person. But see, in America, it's real easy to get messed up. Because in America, here's what we teach. It's about me. It's about my life. We even sing some songs that make me cringe. My faith, my identity, my Jesus. He's not your Jesus. He's the Lord of the world. And we've so personalized our faith, we've lost touch with the real thing. Here's the deal. It's not about my, it's about him, his relationship with his bride, the church. We got to be in fellowship with each other. Everybody's important. Just go ahead and look at your neighbor for a second and say, you know what? You're important. Say it like that too. You know what? You're important. Good. Y'all did great. I like it when you talk in church. We need to talk in church. Why do we need to talk in church? It's a part of the what? Fellowship. The community. The building of the, watch, if we want to go real holy sounding, the building of the saints. You've heard that, haven't you, Mr. Jackson, over the years? The saints need to be built up. We're in this together. I want you to know that. So guess what? You need to be doing some things together. Now, are you going to know everybody at Hillview Heights Church? No. But you ought to know our attitude. Our attitude is we want to be dedicated to God's teachings. And you ought to know a few people real well. How many of y'all got a few people here you know real well? Okay, that's all you're going to know anyway. I had people tell me all the time, well, I just wouldn't know everybody in that big church. I said, you don't want to know everybody in that big church. That's not the point. We know Jesus and we have some others we journey with. Is that not true? We know Jesus. How many of y'all got some close people? I mean, you can go talk to them. You can say, hey, wait a minute. I really need to hear from the Lord here. And it's a brother or a sister in fellowship, man, that'll give you the truth of God. You got to have a few people you journey with. That's two, right? We got to be devoted to God's teachings and we got fellowship. Now watch this. If you just do this stuff, you become a part of this. You experience this. It evolves. It just comes to life. It's what they did. And to the breaking of bread. They broke bread together. What do we do? At least once a month, we break bread. We go to the table, the bread and the cup. And we're reminded that we're in this together because Jesus Christ died on a miserable cross. And he shed real blood. That is not a metaphorical, sacrificial metaphor of the first century. That is blood that was required for you and I to be saved. Why do I know that? The Bible says so. And it'll be blood 1,000 years from now, and it'll be required, Reverend Reynolds, whether the culture receives it or not, does not change God's message. Now here, I want to tell you something right now. Jesus didn't show up to be popular. He's not running a campaign. Jesus won't have to spend $1 billion to be God. Here's why. He is. And guess what? This is the one we don't like. Jesus is going to be Jesus whether you follow him or not. Jesus' purposes will be fulfilled whether you're a part of them or not. Does that make sense? You see, it's not that I got to, it's that I what? I get to. Wouldn't that change our attitude? How many of you all get to be involved in God's teachings? How many of you all get to be in fellowship with each other? How many of you all get to be in worship, to break bread? Into what? Into prayer. Into what? Prayer. The five things that we got to do constantly. You ready? Worship God with all your heart, soul. Worship God. You know what? I want to encourage y'all. I wish we'd all sing in here a little more. Some of y'all would rather listen to somebody else sing than sing. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I can't sing. Listen, we got good news. We got good singers here. Give it a shot. How many of y'all glad to be in a church where there's enough good singers, it'll cover the bad ones up? Hallelujah. But it takes all of us what? Singing. You do it. How many of y'all sing in your truck or you sing in your car or you sing with the radio? I sing with the radio because guess what? I can turn it up loud enough that I don't have to hear me. But I enjoy thinking I'm on stage. Only in my truck. I sing to Elizabeth. She loves it. I don't know any of the words, so she always looks at me. She goes, those aren't the words. I said, they're my words to you, honey. See what I'm saying? I'm in another dimension with her. I mean, we need to sing during worship. We need to participate during worship. We need to be a part of what God's doing. Devoted. Everyone was filled with what? Awe. You want to see a place explode in the awe of God? The awesomeness of God? The awe, the presence of God? Will be a part of these things. You ready? Worship God. Be in God's teachings. The apostles' teachings. Love the Lord with all your heart and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray constantly and without ceasing. These are all teachings of God. Turn the other cheek. When people try to take you out, show them who God is. Realize that God will be there in the end and you will be with him because he saved you graciously. You see what I'm saying? Be a part of these teachings. Now, everyone was filled with awe. Now, let me go to attitude. This ought to be the attitude among us. And man, we got a week to express this attitude. I hope you all know Easter's coming up. You know Easter's one of those big baptizing Sundays. I hope if you haven't been baptized, you're going to take advantage of that and say, you know what? This Easter Sunday, 2011, I'm going to step up to obedience with God and I'm going to do what he asked me to do. I'm going to be baptized as a witness that he is a risen Lord. Fills you with awe. Sissy filled me with awe today, the awe and wonder of God, that God reaches past what we can see. We get to be a part of the mystery. Hear how I said that? We get to be part of a what? Mystery. But it's got some mystery to it. Everyone was filled with awe. Not some. Did you notice that? Everyone was filled with awe. How many of us, we need to get a little more awe in here? We need to get a little more awe going in here. You know, I'm amazed. I'm in awe of the things that go on around here. I'm in awe that 20 years have passed. I don't know when that happened. I'm in awe that God is as intense today as he was 20 years ago. In fact, more so. Awe. Everyone was filled with awe. And these things happen. And I want to tell you, I want us to quit stepping back from these things. Some of us have become so sophisticated and so researched, we think we can explain the wonders of God. Look at what happened. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Still happens today. And it doesn't just happen in other countries. It happens in this country. But you know what I really want to encourage this Hillview? We need to release the wonder and we need to release the miracles of God in this place. You and I are miracles of God. We've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in this congregation, we've seen healing. We've seen marriages restored that weren't supposed to be restored. We've seen children do things that they weren't supposed to do because God intervened and God worked a miracle in life. We've seen people live that were supposed to die. We've seen these miracles. But you know what? Sometimes we just kind of sit and go, well, you know, it's nice. And I'm glad God did that. But I don't want to talk too loud about that because somebody will get wigged out. I really do think it's time for the church to wig the world out. Amen. All struck. This was happening on the square, by the way. This didn't go on inside of a building. As they lived out life, what happened? Wonders and signs were done by the who? The apostles. So you need to leave room for God to do what? Allow his miracle power to work out of you into the world. You know what that may mean? Opening a door for somebody that nobody else will open it for. It may mean simply a smile at Walmart while everybody's standing in line for 35 minutes getting ready to take somebody's head off. When you say, hey, why don't you go in front of me? Wait, I want you to know that there's a God on earth whose name is Jesus, who's working wonder. What happened to the believers? Let's look at the believers. All the believers were together and had everything in common. I mean, I realize we got more in common than we got that's different. We got more in common. I mean, I realize everybody in this room, we only go to heaven one way, and that's if Jesus Christ is willing to save us. Now, how many of y'all are glad to know that Jesus Christ is willing to save us? So here's the way this works now. Because God freely gave his grace, you and I get to go to heaven. We get to be in heaven. We get to live this life. We get to be participants in the kingdom of God. Why? Because God made it possible. All the believers, not some of the believers, all the believers. In Hillview, we're still working on that. We hadn't hit it yet. Can you imagine if this church ever hit a moment? All the believers, not some of the believers, but all the believers. Now note this, all the what? It didn't say all the churchgoers, because in the churchgoers, there's really three categories every Sunday here. There's believers. There's those that are yet to believe. And there's make-believers. They all show up at church at the same time. Don't you think? You got believers, you got make-believers, and you got those who are going to believe. And they all worship together. I mean, some people go to church Sunday after Sunday. They don't believe this stuff. It's a requirement for their social goodness. This is not what happened. In Acts 2, when 3,000 were added to that day, God swept a miracle. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Not some things in common, everything in common. And it pushed them to this, the spirit of service and giving. Giving. Service and giving. Now, watch this. This is a shocker for us. Can you imagine? Selling their possessions and good they gave to anyone that had need. Why would that happen? Now, that just melts our minds, doesn't it? We immediately start reeling. Well, now, that was at this particular culture. That's not our culture. That's not what God's telling. Andy, that's not what God's telling us. This is for that moment of time. Why do we have such a knee-jerk reaction when it comes to goods and possessions? That's our God. Let me ask you. What's going to happen in America when goods and possessions aren't as available? You know how I size people up? If you took all their money away, what do you got left? If you took all their money away, all their goods away, what do you got left? Well, if you take all your stuff away, what you got left? I'm amazed I get to live this life. See, the selling of their possessions and goods wasn't because they wanted to be good people. It was a natural response to a giving God. And they wanted to take care of people because you know what? Once you get into the kingdom of heaven automatically changes your attitude where you want to take care of what? People. I don't get it. I don't know how you can follow Jesus and claim to have a church and it not be a caring place. I don't know how you can't open it up to all people when you see a God clearly say, my desire is that everyone would be saved. I don't know how you don't have this giving spirit. And you know what? I even find now that more people would like to focus on who's separated from God than who could be included in God. Our minds are tilted that way because deep down inside, we're absolutely a bunch of selfish, arrogant individuals that believe the world was created for us. That's a core belief that we have. My. You want to see your life change? To the hell with mine. Because guess what? That's where my stuff will be. But God's gifts. What happens when they give through us? To serve one another. To love one another. And Hillview, I want to thank you, man. You're catching on to this. This is what explodes the church to learn how to give to anyone that has need. We're going to constantly have needs. How many of y'all realize we're going to constantly have needs? I just want to give you some things we constantly have needs of in this church. We are absolutely sold out to the next generation knowing Jesus. Does that make sense? So it constantly requires sacrifice. We constantly need people helping in preschool. We constantly need people helping on Wednesday night in Awana. We constantly need people giving to these kids. And guess what that means? That means you may have to give up something you want to do so the next generation can hear about Jesus. Here's kind of the way I look at it, man. I'm saved. Jesus Christ has saved my miserable, sinful life and given me a new life. I want to be handing out the rest of my days. How many of y'all got that? You know that you have been forgiven. Well, once you've been forgiven, why don't you want somebody else to have a part of that? And we got to give to make that happen. That means every one of these little babies, every one of them, mama, I want them to know the power of God every moment they take breath on their way up. Because you know what? Before you know it, he's going to be standing about 6'3", 6'4", and he's going to go, mama, I'll be back later on tonight. And you'll be saying, boy, you mess up, I'm going to take you at, yes, ma'am. Huh? That's part of it, though, isn't it? That's part of it. So, guys, I want to encourage you. Listen, we got to pick up our servant. I just want to let y'all know some problems I have as a pastor. I have a real hard time with everybody being concerned about every problem of the world and letting their next door neighbor go to hell. I can't logically get my mind around that. You know what I think it is? We like to do Jesus like a vacation. I wonder why these mission trips are always so popular. Oh, you only got to serve him for 7 days. And then you're off. See, that wasn't Acts 2. That wasn't Acts 2. Man, they sold out. It wasn't about goods and possessions. It was about selling out. Everybody misses that scripture. God doesn't want your money. Go ahead and listen. If God wanted your money, you'd be a greasy spot on the sidewalk. It is no problem for God to get your money. I'm so tired of people saying, well, all the church wants is my money. I don't want your money. I do want your attitude of selling out to the things of God. I mean, if he truly has saved you and done everything to you, isn't that worth your life being an illustration of God's wonderful grace to the world? Let me tell you what happened. They didn't do it for a week. They didn't do it for 2 weeks. They didn't do it for a moment, man. It was a way of life. Every day, look at that verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. You know how many days a week they went to church? Seven. They met in those temple courts to do what? To learn, to teach, to interact. They broke bread in their homes. How many of y'all realize we need to hang out and we need to break bread? You know what that means? Sharing the graciousness of God in our lives. How many of y'all break bread? I broke bread with a lot of you. Timmy, I broke bread. I always like your bread because we got something fried to go with it. That's why I like it. We break bread. What does that mean? We eat together. And look, they broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Pastor Mark, you know what that tells me? They didn't have to go there. They got to go there. How many of y'all go to homes and you really like being there? How many of y'all go to some people's houses and you really like being there? Come on, work with me this morning. Y'all, yes or no? How many of y'all have ever been to a home because you had to be there? How many of y'all have ever done one of these? Honey, we're going. I don't want to go. I'm leaving in 20 minutes. Y'all ever done one of those? I call them cameos, touch and go. Now y'all are wondering, would he do that when he came back? No, I don't know. It's part of the mystery. But we ought to get to go. Everywhere you are is an opportunity to show Christ to somebody. Did you realize that? I want to just give you that focus on life. Everywhere you are is an opportunity to show Christ to somebody. It's not that you got to go, you get to go. You get to go. You get to go. And what were they doing? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. Now, how many of y'all realize we got to embrace all people? Here's the one thing I love about our church. We got a little bit of everybody here. Have y'all noticed that yet? We got every hairstyle that God will ever come up with all in one church. We got a lot of colors here. We got a lot of languages here. We got a lot of different histories here. But the thing that we have in common is Jesus Christ is the Lord of all of them. And we got to enjoy that. And I really want to tell you, when you're not here, we miss you. We miss you. Now, I know we don't get on the phone and call you when you miss one Sunday, because you know what? I figure if you're over 21, you ought to be an adult and be responsible for your existence. And I just said a long time ago, I was going to be a pastor, not a babysitter. That's not my job. Because you know what I know? The faithful will and the unfaithful won't. You can always tell the saved. They're about it. You can always tell the believers. They're always in. I had a group of pastors I was meeting with 2 weeks ago, and they asked me, they said, why is it that it's the same people that always? I said, they believe. They believe. And I said, why do you quit worry? Why do you always worry about those who don't believe? Coach Johnson, do you feed the ball to those who can't shoot or those who can? Those who, I mean, in your play, and I'm not giving away any secrets. We don't want to give you away. These are just basic fundamentals here, okay? But as you taking those girls down the court, do you tell them, do you have a strategy? Feed the ball to the girl that can't shoot. Butler had that strategy Monday night. Did you notice that? When you play in a national championship game and you can't make a shot in 7.5 minutes, things aren't going well. You got to feed it to the shooter. Don't you think? If we know that in the game of basketball, you know who when I coach football, you know who I give the ball to? The guy that can run and make yards. Football's a simple game. You go down the field, it's as many yards as you can make till you get to there's this little line down there, it's called the end zone, and when they cross it, then they give it to the other team to see if they can do it. It's a simple game. I'm real simple. If we can run the ball down your throat, guess what we do? We run the ball down your throat. And everybody in the stands going, but they ought to throw the ball. They ought to throw the ball. Why? See, because most people want to be pretty instead of effective. What's the object of the game? To get to the end. What's the object of the church? To bring people into the kingdom of God. That's its objective. It does a lot of things to reach that objective, but there's its objective. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being what? Saved. So the 3,000, about 3,000 added that day, that wasn't a one-time event. That was the initial event. And then as they listened to the apostles' teaching, enjoyed each other's fellowship, worshiped God with all intensity, gave to anyone as they had need, and embraced prayer through all that they did. Look at what it says right there on the scripture. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being what? Saved. Could it be that salvation of others is an intense objective of the Almighty God? Could it be that he even wants to see this on a daily basis? I don't know. Could this be, Don, the main reason the church exists? Wow. We get to be a witness of God's power to the world. We get to. So now, let's go be it. Amen. Guess what you got this afternoon? You got an opportunity to go be a little witness. We've opened up the Church on Main. I want to give you just a couple of details. Church on Main. Guess where it's located? Y'all a lot sharper than 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, I say, where's Church on Main located? Scottsville Road. Church on Main. It's on Main Street. Y'all know, remember the song? I think, was it Bob Seger? Down on Main Street. We're right down on Main Street. Guess what's on Main Street? People. Guess what surrounds that church? People. And guess what those people need? Jesus. So this is an extension of Hillview Heights Church. Now check this out. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. First Baptist Church, Bowling Green, and Hillview Heights Church have come together. Amen. Isn't that cool? So we got the organ playing church and the rock and roll church opening up the Church on Main. We're in charge of the music though. Because Billy Lowe couldn't figure out how to get a pipe organ up in there, okay? So guess what? Today we're going to simply go and we're going to throw open some grills. We're throwing a block party. We're doing it on Sunday evening for this reason. We're doing it from 2 to 5 to simply tell the neighborhood, we'd like you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. That's it today. If some people get, if some people receive Jesus Christ today and enter salvation, hallelujah, that's a bonus. But today, guess what? We're just letting them know that God loves you, period. We're not handing out school pack bags. We're not handing out rice. We're not handing out and talking about all the poverty. Guess what we're going to do? We're just going to simply let people know that Jesus Christ is the living Lord and he loves folk. It starts there. So today on Main Street, we're going to open up Jerusalem. And on those old steps, now here's what's wild. Ms. Elizabeth and I, guess where we started our ministry? Many moons ago, I had a Z28 Camaro. And the mullet to go with it. 6x9 Jensen speakers with 100-watt Chase, 100-watt Radio Shack power amp under the dash with lights that blinked to the distortion. I ministered coming in to Emmanuel Baptist Church with ZZ Top, Led Zeppelin. I wheeled in as the minister on Friday night. She got legs. And God probably shook his head and went, Lord have mercy. He probably said, help me. But you know what it started? We wanted to love some kids. We got us an old Ford blue bus. It was a baby blue bus, and it worked about half the time. If it had to be inspected, we'd all been put in jail. Since I knew how to drive a grain truck, I knew how to stop a bus that didn't have brakes on low gear. We coasted into Emmanuel more than once. You know what? Those kids, some of them met Jesus. My life went on, their life went on, and then it was crazy. I started coaching football, and I started coaching some of the kids. And their parents had been the little kids that I saw on Friday nights. And I went, Lord have mercy. I'm getting old. Dirt. And then got a phone call a year ago. First Baptist Church said, hey, y'all got any interest in Church on Main? I said, we got interest. Wherever there's a free building, we have an interest, is what I told them. I said, we got a building. Y'all got a vision. Let's launch this thing. That's the way Church on Main started. So May the 1st, I'm going to be preaching at 11 o'clock on Church on Main. What a flashback. I remember preaching down there when I started out, standing up in front of 25 people, and they endured it. Now we go back to do what to the neighborhood? Let them know that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I hope you'll be there this afternoon. Listen, I just need you to come hug on folks. You ain't got to stay the whole time. Just stay a little while. Just come by and say, hey, listen, we want you to know there's a church that loves this neighborhood. It's the Enterprise area. Guess who's down there? People who need Jesus. Now, guess who's here today? People that need Jesus. Amen? So I want to extend this invitation. Did you get this today? Five experiences. Keep them in your life. Teaching. Worship. Make sure you build relationships with a few people that are really positive people. We go over this constantly. Why? Why? Because not everyone's doing it yet. You know when I'm going to get quiet, Doc? When everybody does it. I hadn't seen anybody here lead somebody to the Lord yet. Have you? Everybody? I hadn't. Coach, have you? That's when I'm going to shut up. When everybody goes through the baptistry once, I'll tone down. No, I won't. I'm going to say, go do it again. Guess when we're going to quit, Kyle? When everybody in the world's saved. So that's not going to happen in your and I lifetime, is it? So the intensity's what? Always on. Always on, Randall. The Lord added to their number what? Daily. Kim, you okay with that? Daily. So here's the attitude I want you to get. I want y'all to look at Donna. I want you to be walking around antique and all this stuff you do. And I want you to know that an auction, somebody could be added at that auction. How many of y'all realize people can get saved at Walmart? It's not easy, but they can. Be ready to let God release himself through you. So today, listen, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, here's the way it works. Wouldn't you like to be in the kingdom of God? Well, how many of y'all glad to know that Jesus has made a way to make that possible? Some of you going, already, I hear you. I hear you grinding out. Pastor Steve, you don't understand, man. I've done a lot of things. Drank a lot of beer. You don't have to raise your hand if you drank a lot of beer. I've done this, I've done that. How many of y'all go through that list when it gets invitation time? Here's what you got to do. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. There it is. Guess what you just said? Lord, I realize the only way I can go to heaven is if you do something. And guess what Jesus is going to tell you? Done it. And Jesus is going to come into your life and he's going to forgive you of every bit of sin that you've ever committed. The sin that was and the sin that is and the sin that will be. He dissolves it so you and I can do what? Follow him. Today, if you haven't done that, I want you to know we woke up this morning praying. We woke up Monday morning praying. We woke up every morning praying that you might be saved today. Because when you take your last breath, that's all that matters. Maybe today you know you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and you've never been baptized. Man, Easter's coming. I'm serious. I hope Jamie Ward passes out in the baptistry because there's so many people got to be baptized. Why don't y'all go tell everybody in this community? Wouldn't y'all like to see that? I'd love for us to have to drag Jamie out of there. I mean, cold, knocked out. What a story. Pastor gets rescued from baptistry after baptizing 4,000 people. Jamie, little arms be quivering. Probably about 1,500, Jamie start breaking down. You know what's so sad? There's a few of y'all believe that could happen. But I wonder what would happen when everybody believes that could happen. Maybe you need to come to that and say, Lord, I need to renew my get to. Lord, I want to thank you for today to be able to get to worship and to pray and to be saved. I need to be appreciative of what you're doing. Well, let's stand together. This altar's open. You come and let God just do great things, okay? Lord, release this altar. Draw those who need to be drawn to salvation. Draw those who need to be obedient to baptism. Draw those who just need to come and pray for healing. Lord, we pray that we just participate with you right now. And as you come, may the Holy Spirit just empower you. Everyone. Come on, church.